You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Sri Lanka is currently facing the worst economic situation since it gained independence from Britain in 1940. Now, Sri Lankans are protesting against the government due to widespread shortages of food, water, and medicine. A local Sri Lankan describes the crisis like this. They went into infrastructure development borrowing money. However, when the pandemic hit, the foreign exchange earners of remittance, tea and tourism dried up. The government didn't heed the warning signs and continued borrowing and infrastructure development instead of trying to save the economy. Then we had no foreign exchange to buy fertilizer, gas, fuel and medicine. They were not honest about the situation because they thought the Sri Lankan public didn't need to know. They began to say going organic would be the way to go and other rubbish. They printed money to pay for stuff and inflation ran away. They refused to go to IMF because then they would have to abide by demands they weren't willing to abide by. On top of that, the government is corrupt, despotic and racist. This is what Auckland-based Sri Lankan Shanika Samadalaka had to say about the crisis.
Well, I think the main problems are economic. That's what the main problem is. But we got to keep in mind that this is an unprecedented crisis, both economically and politically. We've seen a bit of political instability in recent years when there was a coup back in 2018, but there wasn't a humanitarian crisis like we're seeing today. Yeah. We're talking about pre-COVID times and people weren't having to line up for essentials back then. So I think this is mainly driven by the shortages of petrol, food, milk powder,
medicine,
electricity. Yeah. Absolutely. So this is largely economic issues that we're dealing with today.
But how exactly did this happen? I asked Sri Lankan economist Anushka Wijesinghe.
So, Christina, Sri Lanka has been having economic troubles since the start of the pandemic, and we had worsening economic conditions on the back of an already weak economy after the Easter Sunday terrorist bombings in April of 2019. And since then, the economy has been weak, but the pandemic tipped things over the edge and the government just couldn't get a grip on the declining state of economic affairs. There was almost a sense of over-optimism that with the pandemic waning away, that everything will go back to normal. And also there were a few policy decisions like irresponsible tax cuts, a ban on agrochemicals that affected agricultural production. So a whole bunch of decisions that led to where we are right now.
What impacts has this economic crisis had so far?
So just to paint a picture of the economic conditions in Sri Lanka at the moment, we have many hours of power cuts. People around the country are faced with anything between 4 hours and 10, 12 hours of power cuts. We have people lining up at fuel stations and at cooking gas queues to try and get basic cooking gas to fill their car up, and transportation has been affected. And now increasingly, there's also a shortage of certain types of medicines and some food supplies. And these recent shortages are because there's a lack of foreign currency in the market because of all the economic challenges we've had and a fair amount of economic mismanagement. We have a shortage of dollars essentially to import all these items that Sri Lanka doesn't produce, the fuel, the cooking gas, some medicines and so on. So that's where we are today, and that's why people are on the street protesting. We've now entered probably the 10th or 11th day of continuous protests, which have been quite unprecedented because we haven't ever seen, at least in my lifetime, I haven't seen this level of consistent protests, young people coming out, staging a non-stop protest in front of the president's office. So yeah, it's quite extraordinary times here.
Who has been hit hardest by this crisis?
So I think the urban poor, so urban poor and the middle class and poor in urban areas and semi-urban areas probably hit the hardest, because in rural areas, you could find some way of sourcing you know, food. You know, Sri Lanka is a very fertile country. Yes, there have been fertilizer shortages, but self-sufficiency in some basic food items is possible if you're a rural family. If you're, of course, a very wealthy family, it's obvious that some of these cuts won't affect you. But that middle group, particularly those in urban areas where they rely a lot on cooking gas, they have to commute back and forth from work, you can't just grow something to feed yourself, and prices, the price rises have been higher in these urban areas. So inflation right now is at nearly 18% inflation. So it is these groups that have been worst affected, and probably the urban poor in areas like Colombo, who were already badly impacted by the pandemic. Daily wage workers who already saw a cutting of their incomes didn't get much relief from the government because the government didn't have the fiscal space to do it. So I would say that is the community hardest affected. Primarily informal workers, daily wage workers, those in urban, you know, urban areas, the urban poor will be the worst affected. But this crisis has been so pervasive that everyone is affected in some way or another.
And finally, what are the possible options to lift the country out of this crisis?
So in terms of the economic crisis specifically, right now, we have to put a standstill on our debt repayments in an organized manner. So we have some big debt repayments coming up. That is international sovereign bond repayments coming up in July and a few other smaller repayments in the next few weeks and months. So the only option to try and stop the bleeding, if you will, is to get a standstill on this debt and work with the International Monetary Fund to work out some kind of a bailout package. So this would help over the next 6 months to 1 year in postponing some of the debt, restructuring some of the debt, and getting some much needed assistance coming in. Beyond that, it remains to be seen. Sri Lanka has some structural challenges in the economy that would take longer. In terms of the political crisis, I think that one is harder. I am not able to speak too much about the political options, but it seems a bit of a stalemate right now because the president doesn't seem to be willing to go. But on the economy, it's more clear what needs to be done, and we can see the government taking some steps in that direction, appointing financial and legal advisors for the restructuring, you know, appointing a new central bank governor and a new treasury secretary. So hopefully these will be fast-tracked so that the immediate pain that people are facing could be reduced.
The Sri Lankan government has also played a significant role in bringing about this crisis due to nepotism and corruption. Shanika Samadalaka says this.
So in 2019, when President Gotabaya Rajapaksa came into power, he had executive powers, 2/3 majority in parliament, and his promise to the people was that he was going to have this team of professionals on board to implement various programs across the sectors, which would boost the economy and make up for years of economic mismanagement in the country. But he failed to keep his promises. So there's a whole lot of factors, and I believe that's what contributed to bring about these protests.
I also spoke to constitutional lawyer Bhavani Fonseca about the Sri Lankan government and widespread corruption. She describes corruption as entrenched within the country's history. Since 2019, the president increased his powers and appointed several of his family members to high-ranking government positions, including his brother as prime minister. She says corruption has always existed, but it has recently become clearer how widespread it is. She says there are two avenues for Gotabaya Rajapaksa to exit office. The first option is for him to resign. However, he has, quote, dug his heels in, unquote, and refused. The other avenue is for the president to be impeached. The ability to impeach a president is enshrined in the Sri Lankan constitution. However, it is a long and complex process. She says Sri Lankans do not have time to wait for this. There are reports of people dying in the streets from standing in line without food or water and being in the hot sun for hours. She says people are dying from exhaustion. This is an economic, humanitarian, political crisis that needs quick action.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.